Hello, friends. Lindsay Perry here, and we are thrilled that you're joining us for our Beyond the Woods podcast. This season is all about your story and how you found success. Throughout this season, you will hear from your Beyond family on how they found success and how you can take a page right out of their guide. In this episode, we will be talking with our CEO, Bob Carr, and we're going to learn a little bit about how he started in the payment processing industry and what he thinks it takes to create loyalty in today's age. Hey, Bob, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to join us.
It's my pleasure, Lindsay.
I can't tell you how excited we are, Bob, to have Bob Carr on the Beyond the Woods podcast. Thank you so much for being a part of this with us.
It's my pleasure.
So, Bob, normally we would have you introduce yourself to everybody and tell them what you do here at Beyond. I kind of think our people know you and know what you've been getting into, but do you have anything you want to share that you've been up to lately, or should we just get right into our questions today?
Well, we're in week two of our eight-week Beyond Stimulus program for our sales organization, and the fact that the government wrote us a big check under the PPP program is allowing us to basically allocate the monies that we got to salespeople in a way that we don't have to pay the money back that we pay to our salespeople. So that's really a great thing. And we've designed this Beyond Stimulus program so that every single person on our staff can hit a bonus level that could be as high as $8,000. And that is really exciting to think about what can happen here. And we've got a nice start into our second week, and looking forward to seeing how we can grow this through the middle of June. June 22nd is the end of it, not the date we set. That's the date the government set for us. And so to answer your question, Lindsay, it's been a busy time here of late.
Yes, it has. And you're continuing to find ways to make sales compensation better and better. I mean, it started in 1994, and now you guys have come up with the Beyond Stimulus program, and yet again, kind of making sales compensation better and better. So I think it's pretty cool. And I know all our salespeople are really excited about the doubling down and what we've been doing for them there. So keep that kind of stuff going. We'll keep you busy with that for sure.
Well, I think, you know, I want to make a comment about what you just said, because we call this the 94 plan, because the compensation model that that we use today at Beyond is the same program that Don Lasseter and I invented in 94. And some people are like, oh my gosh, you're paying us the same way as you have for all these years. Isn't it sort of boring? We want to make it more exciting? And the answer is no, we want to keep it consistent. One of the things that commission salespeople are constantly the victim of is getting to be successful and then having the rug pulled out from under them on their bonuses and their commissions. And we set up a model that works for the company, it works for the salespeople, and it works for our customers, that there's, you know, the signing bonus, the portfolio equity, and the residuals. Those are things that are going to stay with us forever because they work, and each component of it is crucial. A lot of people copy part of what we do, but they don't copy all of what we do because it's very costly.
You know, just yesterday, I was talking to a friend of mine who was laid off because of COVID and was looking for a new gig. One of the gigs that he was considering was working for another friend of ours who has a little insurance business with a small company. And he was explaining the compensation program to me. And the thing that he actually complained about was when you left that insurance company, you're done with it. There was no more income from it, right? You kind of had this book of business that belonged to that company actually, but you got to work it and benefit from it as long as you were working that book of business. But as soon as you stepped away, it was done for. And it was so, there was a moment of pride for me to explain to him what our compensation model looked like. and how it continues to work for you even after you leave beyond, let's say you go to do something different. Well, that hard work that you put in is still there to continue working for you because you did the work, you put that work in. So it was awesome. There's just a moment of pride on my end to be able to explain it to him. Mm-hmm. And he just goes, well, man, that sounds really cool. Like he was like, that doesn't sound real. And I'm like, I know it doesn't sound real, but it absolutely is. That kind of thing exists.
And then you sent him to the careers page, right?
I did. Exactly.
Perfect. So Bob, a lot of us have heard your story and we know how you got into the payment processing space and kind of why you're here today. But if you wouldn't mind, could you take us through a little journey here of why is Bob Carr in payment processing? What got you here?
So Lindsay, at the age of 25, I went out on my own to be an entrepreneur. It was still the mainframe days. Mini computers were out at the time. But I was using mainframe computers to run accounting systems for mobile home and recreational vehicle dealers. And then one day I walked past a Radio Shack store in Joliet, Illinois, and I saw this thing called the TRS-80. And this was fulfilling what I had been talking about for years as a teacher at Parkland College, about someday there's going to be a computer on everybody's desktop. It's not that far away. Well, in 1979, I saw it with my own eyes. And I immediately thought, you know, I want to write the systems that we're using on the mainframe. I'm going to rewrite those in BASIC and have one of the first accounting systems that works on a personal computer of anybody. And so I did that. I wrote a general ledger system. I wrote a payroll system. Payables, the whole nine yards, P&L, balance sheet. And really, it was sort of a precursor to what we have today with some of the biggest companies in the business. And one of my customers asked me, he said, Bob, I've got these gasoline pumps and I have these truckers that come in 24 hours a day and they use this white card. And we don't have to it's unattended fueling. And can't you somehow bill those out with your invoicing in accounts receivable system? So I was able to do that. I was able to read in those transactions into my TRS-80 Model 1 and integrate that into the invoicing, prepare an invoice for the trucking company, and then to put it into the accounts receivable system. And that was a pretty nifty product. A lot of people loved it because it was always a manual operation up to that point. And one of my customers in Florida said, Bob, I want you to come down here and set me up on that. And that's what I did. And
he
said, if you can do these fleet fueling cards, why can't you do these Visa and Bank America cards at the time? And that's how I got in the payment business, was by writing software for accounting on PCs. And one of the applications that immediately came up was the integration to fuel pumps.
Wow. So you started by figuring out the integration of fuel pumps and you just haven't looked back from there. You've been really setting trends and being an integral part of our industry ever since then. You know, what I hear in your story is you've always been interested by what's coming, what's to come, the new in technology. You know, you were hearing about, you know, computers and hearing about things changing, and right away you were jumping on it, wanting to be a part of that change instead of being on the end waiting for everything to be ironed out. I'm curious, is that drive, is that something that's kept you in the financial technology industry?
That's a good question, Lindsay. Went to college to be a math teacher, and after a year, I decided that that's not really what I wanted to do. And as I was graduating with a mathematics degree, the University of Illinois, where I was attending, started a brand new program called Master of Science in Computer Science. And so I was one of the six initial graduates from the graduate school at Illinois in computer science. the changes that were made just in the 4 years I was at the University of Illinois in the computer department were incredible. And that was back in 1967, believe it or not. And there hasn't been a week that goes by in my career since then that there haven't been enormous changes going on, basically obsoleting what you're doing today and having to be responsive going forward. And I think that is one of the major attractions to be in the business that we're in. The technology keeps growing, and that means that the solutions that we can provide from a core platform that handles payments and payroll, they're astronomical. And everybody that ever, I learned this a long time ago, you never have a customer that absolutely loves your software and says, that's all I ever need. Everybody that, as soon as they get something, get exposed to the data and the operations of getting and using that data, the more they want. And that's one of the great things. That hasn't changed at all. So we have all these new programs that are out there and people start using them and they realize that there's more, even more. So now in the economy today, you know, we're going through this terrible situation, but there will be more and more and more new things coming out for the rest of our lives. Trust me, there's not one software product out there that is going to be around in 20 years with happy customers. So long answer, but that's my story.
No, it's a great answer. And you're right. I mean, this industry, I remember when I first started getting into technology, we were told about every 6 months, whatever you know is irrelevant. It changes. And now it's closer. It feels like less than 3 months even. Every time I turn around, something is changing. We need to up our security. We need to do things differently because technology is changing. And like you said, as someone who's providing a service or software that has to do with technology, you have to be able to change with those times to keep your customers happy because there's no such thing as creating something that's great once and just expecting it to be good enough to keep your customers happy forever.
Totally agree.
Now, a lot of people have heard, you know, Beyond. That's our company name, right? But if you look deeper, you can see that we are Above and Beyond Business Tools and Services for Entrepreneurs, Inc. Did I get it all, Bob? Yes. Okay. So we've got that business tools and services in there. And that's something that really speaks to me. I love that part of our business and what we do. But I would love for our listeners to understand, what does business tools and services mean to Bob Carr?
Well, what it means to me is meeting the needs of a small business person to the extent that's to the maximum extent possible with the tools that they have. And so when we switched from paper to electronics in the credit card and debit card world, we had to buy these machines. And these machines were little computers. Everybody knows that now we have watches that do everything that those little computers could do. There's things that a business person needs that they just can't do themselves. And that's going to always be true. And for every business, there's like 20 million businesses in America. And many of them are just a one-person business. And but even a one-person business has to file some sort of either a tax return or do a W-2 or whatever. There's accountability required, and they need help to do something like that, as well as to keep their books. For credit card processing, nobody can really do that on their own. There aren't even very many Fortune 100 companies that do their own payment processing. So you've got to go to an outside service. And when you go to an outside service for that, and you have to buy some equipment to make that work, well, can that same equipment be used for payroll also? Merchants can do their own payroll, but they really shouldn't in this world because of the technology and the risk of doing it wrong. So those
Absolutely.
Are two core services that merchants need help with, almost all merchants, and that's why they're so attractive. because they need that service every day and every month and every year. So it's a recurring business, and that's what's so great about our model. Well, if you're going to provide all those tools, why don't you also provide tools that help do, like if you're capturing, you have a POS that's doing your credit cards, why not use the data when the employee checks in and checks out to feed to the payroll system and have the payroll system feed to the general ledger system so that you can get a P&L and you can get an income statement out. And so my thinking is that give them the basic core services and then have as many other tools available that they can use that integrate in. And we're, you know, this is a game, I've been in this game since the late 80s, and this is a game that's been going on for a long time, but it's just, it's, we're maybe in the fifth inning of this situation where every vertical market in the country is going to have so much automation, it's going to all be integrated together, and it's going to make us so much more efficient and so much more productive. You know, when Bill Gates came out with Excel and Word and other products, it increased the productivity of America for decades, and it's still with us, and that's going to continue on. And so anybody that wants to be an entrepreneur that has a little bit of knowledge, technical knowledge, either through schooling or through learning it on their own, there, I'm telling you, there are going to be millions of people out there that need tools that don't exist. And there's going to be millions of people who are entrepreneurs who are going to develop those tools. Now, developing tools isn't a business. You've got to have a market and all the rest of it. I learned how to do a lot of the rest of it the hard way, believe me. In terms of business tools and services, every vertical has different needs from every other vertical. And there are not very many industries out there that have all the tools that they really could have. So if I were a little bit younger, starting over again, I would be jumping right back into this business and wondering how in the world you could do all the tools that you know need to be done.
It was funny about all of that, Bob, is I had a conversation with someone who just joined the Beyond team, and the thing that brought him to Beyond was he wants to be a solution provider. And he's like, Beyond seems to have all the solutions a business owner would need. And I would know that because he was a business owner himself. And so seeing this, he told me, he's like, I wish I would have had someone walk into my business who was an advocate who had these solutions when that was happening for me.
Well, and you know, the thing that comes to mind for me is my role here at Beyond, because I'm often seen in like an influencer position by, you know, vendors and people that want to get our business. They want us to be using their product or their service or whatever it may be. I know for me, there's a lot of times where it just gets kind of overwhelming trying to keep up with, okay, so here's our learning management system. Here's our CRM. And we have all these different things that we have to keep up with, and something's not working. Well, who's technically responsible for it? Who do I call? Where do I go? One of the things that I love about what we've done here at Beyond, kind of like what Bob was saying, is if you have something that you're needing to outsource that you cannot do in-house, and you cannot do your payment processing in-house, that's just, nobody is able to do that. You've got to go through somebody. You may as well be using somebody that can also help you out with your payroll. And if you end up needing business capital, they can help you out there. And oh, by the way, we can help you advertise your business, getting your name out there by using our chip-in service and some of our other nonprofit services. And that's just very unique in today's landscape. And I think that for local, you know, business owners, the American entrepreneur, anything we can do to simplify their day-to-day goes a really long way. And, you know, what we've done here at Beyond is simplify their day-to-day by giving them one person that they can reach out to fulfill all of these needs. I love that.
Are you a strong sales professional? Now is your chance to make double commission on anything you sell. Beyond is hiring all over the country and doubling down on signing bonuses. With this unparalleled opportunity, you owe it to yourself and your family to check out careers.getbeyond.com today.
Now, Darby, you mentioned earlier that you were talking to one of our new reps. And one of the cool things, Bob, as you know, is our team gets to work really closely with all of the new business advocates and team leads and division directors that join Beyond. We get to spend the first, you know, anywhere from 4 to 8 weeks with them, getting to know them, practicing all of their skills that they have so that they can go out there and represent Beyond. One of the things that, Harvey, correct me if I'm wrong here, but one of the things that we hear from every person that comes on is the Beyond promises. I wanted to come over here because of this promise or because of the fact that if we don't provide any additional value, we're not going to charge any additional fees. And they already have our promises memorized and they're usually, you know, a day or two on the job. A question that typically follows after they tell us about their favorite promise is, where did they come from? So, Bob, we've got the guy here responsible for them. We got to know, where did the 10 promises come from?
Well, this is probably the most near and dear thing to my heart as there is in terms of being an entrepreneur. It really comes down to what's important to you as a person. And what's important to me is to be trusted by the people that I work with and by my customers. I want them to trust me. I'm a trustworthy person. I don't make promises that I don't keep. And that's, you know, that's a standard that I just think the company should have. And after being in this business since the late 1980s, I've seen a lot. And right from the beginning, it was all the cheating and stealing with equipment leasing. And it's just gotten worse. The people who are mistreating small business people, they're not the guys with the gold chain around their neck so much now as the guys, you know, that are in the business suits on Wall Street trying to figure out how to increase their earnings per share by 5 cents. And how many merchants can I slip a fee past that they won't notice and leave us? For example, you sign an agreement and on page 57 of the document that you never see, there's all this language in the contract that basically says, we have the right to debit your bank account whenever we want to for whatever reason. And if you don't like it, you can tell us before the 3-year renewal goes into effect. There's just so much mistreatment of small merchants by so many of our competitors. I'll bring up the name of a long veteran that I've worked with, Mike English. Mike English was a consultant for my previous company. And we were talking with marketing about, you know, who are we? What do we stand for? And we were going around the room saying, well, we believe in this. We believe in that. We don't do this. We don't do that. And Mike raised his hand and said, you know, I'm new to this group, but this sounds to me like a merchant bill of rights. And sure enough, that stuck, that language. And then when we started Beyond, we couldn't use that name, obviously. So we call it the promises. And the promises go above and beyond the Merchant Bill of Rights, because the Merchant Bill of Rights was all about transparency. But the Beyond promises are actual promises of how we'll treat people. And basically, it's the golden rules of business. And so, obviously, fees are the big thing. Why should I be charged a fee when you do nothing more for me? And why should I be committed to a long-term contract and don't really realize that there's a penalty? You know, if I hate you, I now have to pay to get away from you. Talk to any merchant and see what's important to them. They all want to trust people. And, you know, here's the thing that just really galls me more than anything. And what I wish business people would be more tuned into this. When you sign up with a credit card processor, you are giving access to your checking account. And when you give access to your checking account, you better watch that thing like a hawk, because people can get in there and take money out of your account that you never agreed to pay. And in our industry, because of Visa's brilliant 300 item checklist of interchange rates, it's impossible. Even a PhD can't figure this thing out unless they take hours and hours or days and days of time. So if they trust you, if the merchant trusts you and you are always trustworthy, then you gain a lot. And a lot of people who are extremely successful here at Beyond have the total trust of their customers. And yes, if you have the trust, then you have really everything that's really important. And to me, I'll just go beyond that one little bit. I believe that the most important trait for a person to have is self-respect and intellectual honesty. Are you being honest with yourself? Because if you're not being honest with yourself, guess what? You're not being honest with other people in your life as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
And so those are sort of the ground rules. And this is what I'm known for in the industry, to a fault, I think, in the
Absolutely,
eyes
are.
Of many of our competitors.
It's so funny you say that, Bob. When I started working for you a little over five years ago, my grandmother actually just retired at 89 years old a few years back. She was running her motel, has been running it forever. Everybody in Woodward, Oklahoma knew Eloise Whaley and the downtown motel because she was just a staple in the community. But Granny wasn't going to retire. And I remember when I first started working for you and I learned about the Merchant Bill of Rights, I thought it was so amazing. I was like, seriously, Granny, you have no idea. And I went and I showed her, and she was just, her saying is garden seeds. She, if something shocks her, she's always like, well, garden seeds? She says, Lindsay, you work for a young man that seems to just really have everything together. He's really thinking about us out here trying to live our American dream. And it just hit, because my granny's my hero. I think she's the greatest woman on the planet. And to have her think and tell me, this newbie that just got started working, and I learned about these Merchant Bill of Rights. And then fast forward, we're starting Beyond, and we're all in there. And I remember I was actually sitting next to Ivy, who was sitting right next to you. And it was the first time that I'd been in like a meeting room just with you, you know, and I was still pretty new to the team. And I looked down, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so awesome. And we started talking about the importance of the Merchant Bill of Rights and how at Beyond, we're not going to be able to continue, you know, carrying that on and use that same terminology, but that you wanted to make sure that we had something as powerful and as strong as a company to stand for, you know, something that we were, the hills that we would die on. And just getting to hear that conversation about how it wasn't going to get rid of the Merchant Bill of Rights, that it was your intention as you wrote the Merchant Bill of Rights years ago, that they would stay in place and that they're still strong, self-standing, but that we were going to take the Merchant Bill of Rights and add 10 additional promises to it that was unique to Beyond. And I told my granny about it again, and she was just as impressed then as, or now as she was when I first introduced the idea of, you know, working for this man, Bob Carr. And when we got to talking about you, I told her, I said, Granny, he's famous amongst people that are business owners. You know, they kind of see him as someone that's really helped bring a light into a dark industry, but he's infamous to our competitors because he brought a big spotlight into the dark corners, and they didn't want that spotlight there. They preferred it to be dark and a little confusing. And so I think that's kind of funny how you said that not everybody appreciates that we've done that, but the business owners do. That's who we're fighting for. And I'm proud to be a part of it.
I'm glad to hear, Lindsay, that I'm attractive to your 89-year-old grandmother. That's the age group that seems to be most attracted to me these days.
No, my whole family thinks you're pretty cool. So I talk about you guys about Beyond quite a bit. Your common conversation at the dinner table around our household.
What I love about what you said, Bob, at the very beginning of that is you wanted to be trusted, I think is huge. In my mind, I think about, you know, as I learned about this industry and just how sideways it can be to people and how it can take advantage of these business owners to be trusted. So when I'm asked that question in the future, I'm going to be like, it's because Bob wanted to be trusted. That's why these promises exist. He wanted you to be able to work for a company that you could be trusted as the person advocating for that business. I think that's so cool. One of the things too that I know is we always tell people that, you know, these Beyond promises, we are obligated. It's part of the contract. What can you tell me a little bit more about that, how we're obligated to these promises more than not just on our website?
We are obligated to do what we say we're going to do. Otherwise, we're going to be in violation of Federal Trade Commission laws. And that's why you don't see other companies put out the promises, because they don't intend to follow them. And if they didn't follow them, there's enough lawyers out there now that they don't let companies get away with this, especially big public companies. Trickery that takes place behind the scenes in the boardrooms and in the management suites of many of our competitors. Someday I'll write another book and I'll talk about all that. It's really duplicitous about what happens. If you are a person that goes into a 7-Eleven and robs them for $65, you can go to jail for I don't know how many years. But if you're a credit card processor, you can debit every merchant that you've got for $65, call it a annual review fee. And I've seen companies do that over and over and over again.
And get away with it.
They get away with it.
So you are very well known for kind of paving this path for business owners, for the local entrepreneur. And with Beyond, the nonprofit space has become something that's been really important. I'm curious, what is Beyond doing and how is Beyond working within the nonprofit space?
We've developed a product called Chip In, and we've just now been able to get approval from Visa and MasterCard to be able to use Chip In for all merchants in America that take Visa and MasterCard, not just our customers. And we've already directed millions of dollars of donations from merchants who want to give to the local charities to the nonprofit world. But we're just getting ramped up. We're just getting started with this. And I believe Chip In is going to be really an important part of getting people to shop local again as the economy gets better and as the virus problem gets behind us, which is unfortunately not going to happen quick enough as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. But Chip In allows merchants to give discounts to consumers who take that discount then and have it's automatically paid to the nonprofit that they want to support. So we go into a community and we look at the nonprofits and we look at the businesses and we try to match them up. For example, one of our newest customers is the franchise group of owners of Jiffy Lube franchises in Indiana. If you go to an Indiana Jiffy Lube, they give a 10% discount to whoever you want to support. So if you want to support the local Chamber of Commerce, that 10% will go to you, the consumer who chose the Chamber of Commerce. You might want to support, you know, a food bank. The consumer gets to decide and they can change it from one day to the next of what local charity or national charity that they want to support. And the advantage to merchants is that this makes the buying at that merchant intentional. People will say, well, okay, I want to get my oil changed. And they'll go out to their app for Chip In, and they'll see who's giving discounts for oil changes that are close to them. And they'll intentionally pick the one that is going to give them the best discount that's going to be transferred into the Chip In system. And we're doing that as a free service. We obviously hope that many of these merchants are our customers, but they don't have to be. But we're excited about the pickup this is going to give us very soon now that Visa and MasterCard have approved us.
I know when I first started learning about Chip In, you and I actually were sharing a cup of coffee in New Orleans. And we were sitting there talking about this new product that was going to be coming on and Chip In. And I just kept sitting there thinking, it took me a minute for it to really resonate with me how incredible this product offering was going to be. But the more I heard you talking about what it could do and what it was going to be doing for our communities, I kept thinking to myself, why couldn't this have been around in the 90s? Because I washed a lot of windows. I painted a lot of curbs. I sold a lot of cookies. I would have much rather had something like this. I would have pulled every door and got them signed up on Chip In just to avoid from having to wash those windows in that Oklahoma 100 degree weather. Believe me, I would have pulled doors all day long to do it that way. But I think about it, and it's with the card linking in the app. When the schools are out of town, you know, the sports teams are visiting and they're at an away game or whatever, they have the ability to pull up an app and see what places there in that town are chip-in clients so that they could go use them and benefit their booster club or their nonprofit or whatever it may be. And I thought that was just so cool. And how great for all of these booster clubs and these schools to have this as an option, not to mention all of the nonprofits that could benefit from having a company that has 10 promises in place that we're legally bound to because we care about you, our client. Pretty awesome stuff. Pretty awesome stuff in the nonprofit space. And I know that you've kind of been doing stuff in nonprofits for a while now. Is there anything else that Beyond has going with the nonprofit space, or is chip in our primary focus here? See if we can get a little insider info, guys.
Chip in, we are moving everything into the chip in platform. We of course do payroll for nonprofits. We do payment processing, but now we're moving into the donation world. I mean, we are there now with ChipIn. Our standard service package, we want to work with the different systems, CRM systems that are used by the nonprofits. Some of those are our competitors, mm-hmm. But not many. So we think there's a great opportunity for us to work with the CRM vendors in the nonprofit world.
Bob, what I love that you mentioned there is kind of moving into the donation side of things, which I think is a great segue into our next question, which is, how do you see our industry adapting to the changes we're experiencing?
I think at our previous company, we started a trend. We bought 34 different companies in verticals such as education, as in school lunch programs, as in restaurants. And we integrated our payments with those POS systems primarily that we acquired. And I think that's going to continue. That's a trend that the CEO of Global Payment Systems was talking about at the annual convention a few months back, and how we were the leader in starting that trend. And what's going to happen, I think it's going to be an interesting thing to watch. There are definitely point of sale companies and ISVs out there who are in the business of making the merchant do business with them for their credit card processing and not opening it up to anyone else. When you start making your money by forcing people to do business with you, it's so much easier to raise the rates and mistreat your mm-hmm. customer because they're locked into you. And once you start down that path of doing dishonest things, and I think requiring somebody to do business with you contractually that you did not really understand what you were signing up for, I think it's really bad. And if you're going to be willing to do that to a customer, then the next time you're short on your earnings or pressed for more mm-hmm. profit by your boss, then the easiest thing to do is just go ahead and raise rates again and again. So I think that trend that was started by Mercury Payments, I think is going to over time resolve itself because competitors are going to be able to show that they're getting ripped off. And when their contract ends, they'll provide an alternative solution. So there's no question at all that every vertical market is going to have more and more specific targeted tools that are built into their software system by whoever their provider is. And more verticals are going to be established because what's a vertical today is going to wind up being five different sub-verticals over the next 5 to 10 years. That's just the way the world works, and it's going to continue working that way.
Excellent. So it sounds like in your perspective that our industry is going to continue to adapt through these POS relationships and all of the different technologies that are making their way into payment processing. It's no longer the day of the knuckle busters. You know, it's gotten a lot more involved with computers, technology. We have, like you said, POS systems. There's terminals, but terminals are even kind of starting to make their way out. You don't see them as often as what you used to anymore. You see more of those smaller, a little more lean POS systems or virtual systems. So it sounds like in your perspective, we're continuing down the trail of technology and trying to find a way that we can work with companies that aren't going to lock us in and kind of hold us hostage by just working solely with them.
This industry is it's going to continue to change as it has every year since it really got started back in the 80s.
I think one of the very first times I ever came across an industry that was locked, that had systems that locked them in, was surprisingly the floral industry. I had a BA reach out to me asking me about, hey, there's a company, I'm talking to this flower shop, but this lady is using the system that seems to do everything for her. And I went and looked it up, and sure enough, it is a floral specific service that takes care of the website, the online ordering, the pickup, the POS, the processing, everything for them. Except, you know, they didn't take care of payroll and things like that, but in terms of like the retail part of it, they took care of everything. And it was, I had just never seen anything like that before, where it's just kind of like whole package. And he was like, oh, how do I help this person get out of that? Because it seems to be they are in everything for this person. And they don't want to be a part of it because it's so expensive. And they didn't realize that.
Well, what happens is you have FTD, right? That so many flower shops use, and they tie it together. And that is the model that is out there. I do believe that model is going to be broken through over time, however.
I agree with you, Bob. I think that it's companies like Beyond that are going to help kind of break that model and give people more freedom to make sure that they're working with companies that have their best interest at mind, for sure. Mm-hmm. So our last question, and we'll make it about the last dance. Oh, so here at the Perry House, Bob, we've been watching the Michael Jordan documentary, and I mean, we've powered through it. I think right now we're waiting for the next episode to come out, but it really brought me back to a time and made me think about how when I was younger and I was growing up, athletes really stuck with a team. You know, when Michael Jordan played for the Bulls, he played for the Bulls, and that's who he played for. And he played with Scottie Pippen and the whole crew, and people really stuck with a team. But not only did athletes stick with a team, it seemed to be a pride point for employees to stay true to a specific company, to one company. I mean, my own dad is still with the same company he's been with for over 30 years, and to him, that's a pride point that he has been loyal to that company. And I guess I'm kind of curious, in your opinion, how is loyalty created today when athletes change teams, you know, year to year, season to season, and employees often, you know, get frustrated or maybe have another opportunity, whatever it may be, but they find themselves leaving companies every few years?
Well, I think you'll be a little bit surprised with my answer to this, but I've been watching Last Dance also. And of course, who doesn't love Michael Jordan and just admire what he was able to do? In that series, there's a lot of talk about Scottie Pippen and how Scottie Pippen was not paid fairly. And he took it personally as an insult. I don't think it was maybe the money as much as that he felt like, look, I'm an all-star player with Michael Jordan and I'm being paid like I'm a rookie. And so is it right for him to feel upset that he was mistreated? He stuck in there with the Bulls, but he wasn't happy and he wasn't giving it all there all the time. I think that being loyal to an employee and the employee being loyal to the company, I think it's just too easy to say it's about loyalty. It's about trust and comfort. There are people who leave one company and go to another and another in our industry. And, you know, we would love to have everybody with us through until they retire. There's no question about that. We want to treat everybody right. And I think people, once they get into the groove with us, they stay for a long time. And that was true in a previous company too. But if we start doing things that are not trustworthy, if we start breaking the promises, then do the companies really need to be loyal to us since they came to us because we promised those things? So I think I'd like the idea of earning your keep every day. And that's what we tell our merchants when we say your contract, you know, you can leave whenever you want to without a penalty. That's tough on us, really tough on us. But I don't think it's increased our attrition a whole lot over what we were used to. And I think it really, a lot of merchants, they say, wow, if you're not locking me into an agreement where I have to pay a penalty, you must really think that you're going to give me good service and take care of my needs and honor your promises. And I do think that's, it works that way. So I think the idea of mutual loyalty is really dependent upon mutual trust of the parties. And that's why I like our model so very much, because so many of our people have been burned by the other way. Mm-hmm. They come over here and they know that they're going to get their paycheck on time. They know that they're going to be treated with, so we have a sales professional bill of rights here, and it outlines very clearly what we're obligated to. And we intend to honor that, honor those promises forever. And therefore we want all of our people to stay and be loyal to us, because we're going to be loyal to them. But that's a heavy burden on all of us. And it's one we accept very much with a lot of pleasure, because we know it works.
Such a great point is that, one, like, you know, you mentioned loyalty is earned. You know, you're going to earn your keep every day. But I love that you said loyalty is not one-sided. It's also the responsibility of the other party, be it the man I promised my life to, that the loyalty to that, to my husband or the company that I'm working with. But I have to have that loyalty being reciprocated and coming back to me. And one of the things that, you know, you're very well known for in the leadership team that you've surrounded yourself with is you guys do what you say you're going to do. You do what's right. And because of that, people feel that there's trust there. And because of that trust, it makes them feel safe and comfortable to be loyal to that mission and to what Beyond is trying to do.
Absolutely true. And we plan to continue to try to honor that, those promises. And that's who we are. And we really have to, we're going to keep doing it because it's the right thing to do.
Well, Bob, on that note, I promised you that was the last question, and I want to be respectful of your time, sir. So thank you so much for joining us. We had a blast interviewing you. I have a feeling our listeners are going to just be blowing our email up, wondering when we're going to get this out on the channel and live for everyone to hear. So as we close out, I wanted to give you an opportunity to, is there anybody you want to give a shout out to or that you want to share some kudos to for all of their hard work?
Well, I'd like to thank you and Harvey for putting this together, and for Ivy, who's always in the middle of everything that I'm involved with in a very helpful way. If I start naming names, Lindsay, I'm going to get in trouble, because I want to thank everybody who gives it their all in our company, and look forward to continuing this journey and working through the gremlins that are giving us troubles these days in our economy. So I'll end that before I get myself in trouble by naming people in that
You're
way.
You're a smart man, Bob Carr. You are a smart man. Thank you again so much. And listeners, thank you for joining us. We hope that you learned a thing or two. I know I did. And we hope to see you join us next week as we continue our journey through the woods here at Beyond. Bye now.
U.S. jobless claims are at an all-time high, but not at Beyond. We're not just still hiring, we're doubling down. If you're a strong sales professional with a network of small business owners in your area, now is the time to join. We're offering 2x our already generous signing bonuses on all new deals for a limited time. Apply today at careers.getbeyond.com.